This is Changing Your World with Creflo and Taffy Dollar, bringing you the Word of God with simplicity and understanding. Now listen to the Word of God and watch it change your life.
Hebrews chapter 4. Beginning at verse 1. Praise God. Lord, I thank you. You're going to speak through my lips of clay. Amen. Now, I want to reiterate some things and add some stuff to this. Verse 1, let us therefore fear, or let us be careful. Let us be cautious. Let us be aware, and let us be diligent. That's what he's saying there. Let us therefore fear, lest the promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. So there's a warning here. Don't miss out on all that God has provided for you. There are some things that God has made ready for you. There are some things that God has provided for you. And he says it's going to require that you be careful and cautious and aware and diligent so you don't miss out on those things that have been provided for you. Now, you see this word rest that's coming up again. And we concluded and submitted to you on Sunday that the rest of God is just simply your trust in his finished works. It's your trust in God's finished works. Healing has been finished. Rest requires your trust in what's been finished. Trusting, leaning on, relying on confidently in the finished works. And I went through some things on Sunday talking about in the book of Genesis chapter 2 and verse 2 and 3 how God rested the seventh day, not because he was tired, but because he was finished. It's like a lawyer in a courtroom who says, I rest my case, not because he's exhausted, because he's finished, he's done. And in Genesis chapter 2, God took his rest on the seventh day because he was finished, he was done. But then the Bible says he blessed it. And we saw how God created man right at the end of the sixth day, going into the Sabbath, or that day that God finished, indicating that man entered into the finished work. He wasn't created the first day, or he would have been treading water. He wouldn't be created on the second or third day, or he'd have been dodging trees coming up. He was created to enter into the finished work. Everything was made ready for him. Everything that man needed was made ready for him. That all that God created and all that God did was perpetual, and God hadn't created anything since that particular day. Even the new creation of our born-again spirits, it was all done on that day. He anticipated everything and caused everything to be able to reproduce over and over and over and over and over again. And he took into consideration everything that you and I would ever need on that day. So this rest is his finished work. It's everything that's been done on that particular day. Everything, including and concerning all that Jesus would do, all that would happen. And that Sabbath day was a shadow of the real thing, or the real image, which would be Jesus. And we made that clear. So you have to get taped Sunday to get all that detail. Now, I'm going to read this rest in line with finished works so that you can really get a hold of what's going on here in the book of Hebrews chapter 4. It's his finished work. I don't want you to have this picture of defining rest from a perspective of I'm tired, so I'm resting. Okay? But I want you to see it from the perspective of I'm finished, so I'm done. It's finished work. And so he's trying to get us to enter into what he's finished. It's done. Not because he's tired, but he's through. And I think literally Sunday I said he quit. That's what that when you quit something, you finished. Okay? All right, now let's go at it again now. Let us therefore fear, lest the promise being left us of entering into his finished work. You see that now? Kind of rings a little different when you go ahead and define what that is. It doesn't leave room for you to misinterpret it from a wrong perspective. Okay? Let us therefore be careful, cautious, aware, and diligent, lest the promise being left us of entering into his finished work, any of you should seem to come short of entering into his finished work. For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. Now, he was specifically here talking about the good news that was preached to the Israelites about their deliverance from bondage of Egypt. So good news. He said, not all of them profited because they didn't believe it. Now watch this. For we which have believed, do what? Enter into his finished works. All right, who is it that enters into God's finished work? We that believe. Okay? And as he said, as I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my finished work, although, now watch him define this again by scripture. Although the works were finished from the foundations of the world.
See how the scripture just defined itself?
He talks about verse 3, those who believe do enter into his finished work. And then he says, although these works were finished from the foundation, everything that God did in the foundational creation, it included everything. It didn't leave anything out. It's already done. Everything he was ever gonna do on the planet and for mankind, everything he was ever gonna do for a plant, for an orange tree, for a human being, everything he was ever gonna do about your situations, your decisions, your forgiveness, everything you were gonna ever need in provision form, he's already done it. Now that's a key phrase. Say out loud, he's already done it.
He's already done it.
And he did it at the foundation of creation. God is so awesome. When he created everything, He didn't just create a tree of oranges and then, you know, we eat all the oranges up and then he got to come and create another one. No, you did. He created our bodies the same way. Our bodies were originally created to be so perpetual that the cells would replenish themselves so that we have the ability to live forever. And doctors still can't understand why men die. Because they have the ability to live forever. They were created eternal. All right? And then, you know, sin came in and some things happened there. Now, let's go on a little further. Verse 4. For he spake in a certain place of the seventh day on this wise. All right? And God did rest the seventh day from all his works. He took rest because he was finished. He was done on the seventh day. He blessed the seventh day. So while he was setting this whole thing up, coming from generation to generation in thousands of years, this was to indicate that when a man entered into God's finished work, he can leave all of his work turned off. Why? Because I trust God's finished works. I trust him. It's finished. It's going to be taken care of. So now we got to learn how to cease from our works. But it's going to surprise you because a lot of our works are wrapped up in religion. I'm going to show you that some of your work may be praying. And I'm going to show you how we turn faith into works. All right, now watch this. Verse 5. And in this place again, if they shall enter into my finished works, seeing therefore it remaineth that some must enter therein, and they to whom it was first preached entered not in because of unbelief. All right, so he makes it clear. Those who believe will enter in to his finished work. Those who don't believe won't enter in to his finished works. Unbelief. I think somewhere in scripture calls it a evil heart of unbelief. All right, now watch this. Again, he limited a certain day, saying in David, today after so long a time, as it is said, today if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. For if Joshua, now in your King James, that is the Greek translation of the Hebrew name Joshua. Jesus was not the one leading the children of Israel. It was Joshua. And so you'll know I'm not changing the scripture. There should be a little letter in front of the word Jesus. If you'll follow it through, it'll indicate to you that this is a Greek translation of the word Joshua, but he is talking about Joshua here. If you even read the Amplified Bible, it says this, that this mention of a rest was not a reference to their entering into Canaan, for if Joshua had given them rest, he, God, would not speak afterwards about another day. So this is referring and making reference to Joshua, not Jesus. All right. Therefore, and somebody says, well, why'd they put Jesus? Because they were translating this whole thing from Hebrew to Greek. And when you go to translating it, this Jesus happened to be the Greek translation of Joshua. OK, so it wasn't the writers. It was the translators who were making the translation. And then it ended up Jesus on here. And that's how you can see it there. Everybody understand that? Because you're going to need to know this, because you're going to have to preach it to your mom and them when they start seeing signs and wonders in your life. Amen. How does that happen? They're going to look at you and say, that's a wonder. All right. There remaineth, therefore, a rest to the people of God. So David's coming up here and saying after 400 years, obviously they still didn't take it because there still remaineth the finished work. It's still there. It still remaineth the finished work for those who will believe. All right, now watch this. For he that is entered into his rest, the one who enters into his rest also hath ceased from his own works as God did from his. All right, now let's stay there just for a moment. Here's evidence that you've entered into God's finished works. What's the evidence? You are no longer going to try to get God to do something. All right, think with me for a moment. When you get to the place where you say, I'm not trying to get God to come and do something for me because I believe that everything for me has been done. Now, you got to change it. You got to change your thinking now. For you to do anything in an attempt to try to get God to do what he has already done is making reference to your own work. Now, you think about it now. Well, I'm going to pray and intercede for the lost. And then here's what your prayer. Now, please don't misunderstand me. Yeah, we pray. Yeah, we intercede. But we got to start doing it the right way. All right, now. So we start interceding for the lost. We say, oh, God, come down and save them. Oh, Lord Jesus, if you save them, if you save them, Lord, save them, Jesus. And most Christians say, well, what's wrong with that prayer? Salvation has already been given to all men. Salvation has been made available to everybody. When was it made available? When God created everything. Salvation is a finished work. For you to say, God, come down and save them, and I'm praying that you'll save them, is for you to demonstrate that you have not entered into the finished work. Salvation has already been extended towards all men. Their prayer should be, Father, I thank you that you have made salvation available to all men. I thank you that salvation is your will for all men. And I thank you that your will is being done in the life of this sinner. And now I'm available for you to use as a channel to love or to do whatever need to be done. That's how you pray for the lost. Why? Because you're not trying to get God to do what he's already done. Does everybody understand that? And so even though you use something like prayer or faith, if you use it to try to get God to do something that he's already done, that's you trying to, through your own works, demonstrating that you've not entered into the finished works. Because when you believe it's finished, you don't talk in terms of trying to get it done. You talk in terms of, since it has been done, then everything about my prayer and my faith must now begin to line up in the proper tense. Here's another illustration. Father, I thank you that I'm going to go to the meeting tonight and watch this. I believe I'm going to be healed. I believe I'm going to be healed. I believe that pastor's going to have a healing meeting tonight and I'm going to be healed. Now, ain't nothing wrong with coming to church. Ain't nothing wrong with having a healing meeting. The problem is you have not entered into the finished works. Healing has been finished. So instead of you saying, I believe I'm going to be healed, to say that you've entered into the finished works is, Father, I thank you that healing has been granted and it is the will of God for my life. And Father, I thank you. I trust that I'm not going to be healed. I already am because I now enter into the finished work of healing. Amen. You see what I'm saying? Your whole mindset and the way you address all of this has now got to be challenged in order for you to produce the evidence that you have really entered into his rest. Now, the next verse of scripture uses a little of an oxymoron when he says, let us labor to enter into his rest. So it's not just going to be you in your innermost being say, well, I believe it. No, you're going to have to labor to enter into the finished work. Well, how you do that? Well, the doctor comes up to you. Doctor says, you're going to die. Now, here's the labor. Here's the labor. You open your mouth up and you say, I walk by faith. And this is so good. I'm going to leave that alone for a minute. Then I come back to it. Oh, boy. Well, let me do it because I can show you the wrong way. I believe by faith that God's going to heal me. All right, what's wrong with that? Healing's already done, right? So you think that your faith now is getting ready to make God do something. Healing's already done. You have not entered into it. Now you're trying to make God do something with your faith. All right, now watch this. I'm going to call 3,000 saints to pray so I can be healed. What's wrong with that? Healing is a finished work, right? Now you're trying to use prayer to make God do something. You're trying to use prayer to move God to heal you. You're already healed. So the labor part is, Father, I thank you in the name of Jesus that I'm not going to be healed. I am healed. Healing is the will of God. I declare that the will of God is being done for me right now. I refuse to get into panic and I refuse to be in fear. And I declare that I am healed. Are you seeing the difference there now? Healing is a finished work. Watch this. Prosperity is a finished work. Prosperity is not something that you got to let me see. And I have seen this. Oh, God, forgive me. Jesus, forgive all of us, Lord. Forgive me first, oh Lord Jesus. All right, now what's wrong with what I just did? Okay, by me. So I'm going to God and say, oh God, like he going to forgive me. Like he going to forgive me because I asked him to forgive me. Well, hadn't he already forgiven me?
Yes.
When did he forgive me? It's a finished work, right? So what's the correct way of doing it? Father, I thank you that because forgiveness is a finished work, I declare in Jesus' name that that's the will of God for my life. I receive my forgiveness. I won't walk in guilt. I won't walk in fear. I walk in the finished works of Jesus Christ. You see the work we got to do? This is a renewing of the mind kind of thing. And this is the very thing that has been stopping us. All right. Now, I'm gonna do something here. Go to Mark 11:23. Y'all mind if I just freestyle here so I can get to my point and it won't take all night? Just let her rip, just say it. Mark 11:24. It's finished work. The key is it a finished work with you? It's finished. And religion has had a ball with this. Now, let me show you this. Mark 11:23. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. He shall have whatsoever he saith. All right, now. For years we've heard that faith moves God. And I told you at the beginning, I beg to differ with that. Faith doesn't move God, ladies and gentlemen. Faith is just a positive response to what God has already done. Faith doesn't make God do something. Faith is how you appropriate, let me use another synonym. It's how you take possession of, faith is how you take possession of what's already been finished. Faith doesn't make it. Faith is how you take it. Now, I want you to listen to this illustration so you can gain concept. Let's just say somebody says, well, the Bible says you can have what you say. And it does say that. And then they say, well, you know, I believe I'm going to rob this bank and I'm going to be able to get away with it. Oh, people have done stranger things. And so based on that, they believe you'll have what you say. And that's what they say it. Okay. Or, you know, because the whole idea is that faith will move God. Now, please understand, God God, when he did the foundation of creation, God's already moved. God has already moved. Faith is not going to move God. Faith is going to get what God created when he moved in the foundation of all creation. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. The idea, the mindset is that if I can name it and claim it, then I'm going to make God give it to me. If I can confess it every day for a million times, that's going to move God to give it to me. If I can lay hands on it, that's going to make God give it to me. Look at all of the things we are doing trying to make God move. And if I can get with Sister Carol and say, you pray, Sister Carol, since I know I hadn't been successful in making God do nothing, you see if you can go ahead and make him do something. And so the whole mindset is that everything we do, either consciously or subconsciously, what we're thinking is we're doing it to make God do something. I'm going to read my Bible every day to make God bless me. You read your Bible so you'll know what God has created for you, so your faith will know what to go get. I'm going to come to Wednesday night Bible study so God will be pleased with me. You know, you keep trying to do stuff to make God do stuff. And everything you do to try to make God do something is your own work, which indicates you have not entered into his finished works. And now we take faith and we try to use it. Think about all the things we've done over the years where faith is concerned. Well, I'm going to say this in the name of Jesus. I mean, that's good, but it don't make God do nothing. I am going to think about all stuff. I'm going to walk around a car 7 times and that'll make God give me the car. I'm going to confess that I have this job, I have this job, I have this job, and that's going to make God give me that job. I'm going to sow a seed, and that seed I sow is going to make God bring the harvest. And you know what's happened? We have failed royally, and at the end of the process, people end up leaving the church. You know why? Because they're not successful at getting God to do what they want him to do. And then we go so far as to say to God, now, Lord, you know, if you love me, then you'll go ahead and heal this person because I really love this person, as if you human love greater than God. Ain't no man alive love nobody greater than God. Well, Lord, you don't know how much I love him, so heal him because I love him. If you love me, you'll heal him. You dare say that your love or affection or mercy is greater than that of the Father's in an attempt to try to get him to move? That doesn't move God. Is everybody with me so far? Doesn't move him. What we've got to understand is this. Somebody says, well, you know, Brother Dolan, when people do stuff like, well, I believe I have what I say. And this actually happened. And there's a woman, and some of you may have seen, you know, been around something like this. Some lady says, well, that's my husband. But the problem is that husband got a wife. No, you laughing. I've seen this. And I've seen Christian women say, well, the Lord told me that's my husband, so they were believing for the wife to die. And so they married the husband in the spirit and was believing God for the wife to die. And they were using the faith scripture because God said, I'll have what I say. And I say, that's my husband, that's my husband, that's my husband, trying to get God to do something. All right, now, how come the bank robbery and that, how come that stuff won't work? You have what you say. Well, first of all, it's ridiculous. But now here's the deal. God has not made in his finished work, in his atonement plan, murder was not included. That's not a finished work. Robbing the banks out of deceit and all that stuff, that's not a part of the finished work. Your faith can only get you what God has finished.
Yeah. Amen.
If you didn't finish it, faith ain't getting what hadn't been finished. And so when Christian people start believing fruity stuff, it ain't gonna happen anyway because God didn't provide that weird stuff. So here's the key. Here's what we got to do. Faith appropriates what grace has provided. And grace has provided for us everything that pertains to life and godliness. Hallelujah. Faith doesn't move God. Faith is not going to get God to respond. Listen to all the stuff that in our religious head. How to get God responding. God is finished. So any attempts on your part as a Christian to try to get him to respond to your problem is evidence that you have not entered into the finished work. See, what happens is we think I have a problem. So now God is going to give attention to your problem right then. Now, God gave attention to your problem when he created everything. The answer to your problem is finished. All you need is faith to appropriate the finishes or the finished answer for your problem. So your mindset got to change. You got to renew your mind with finished work, not getting him to work. No, God is not your errand boy. God, go over there and do that. He says, I have done everything. I told y'all I quit. I'm finished. It's a chess game. He made the first move. The rest of us got to move now. He made the first move. Now I'm making, now it's his turn. No, he done. Excuse my English. He's finished. All the moving is on you. Oh, I'm fasting for 40 days so God can move. He is not moving. He hadn't moved since the day that he created everything and took his rest and blessed it all. And with the blessing, you have everything. But as long as you have this religious mindset that says, I have a problem, and now I have work strategy to try to get God to do something about my problem. That's religion. Isn't that what we've learned ever since we've been saved? Let's do something to get God to do something about my problem. And ain't nothing happened. And all these years have gone by. And when you made a faith mistake and you finally made your mind up, you know what? I believe I received. That's the closest we got to the finished work. I believed I received it. And when you believed you received it and you weren't asking for it no more from the perspective of trying to get God to do something, then stuff happened. Back up and check your testimonies out. It was only until you said it's done and stayed on that, that it got done. But when you were wondering and full of guilt, wondering, how come God ain't moving? What did I do wrong? What else can I do? How else can I do it? Maybe I said it the wrong way. Maybe I needed to end the prayer in the name of double Jesus instead of just Jesus. And all of these things that religion has created. And God is saying, there still remains a rest. There still remains a rest for the people of God. I prophesy to this church that we are going to enter into this rest in such a degree that there will be things happening on a day-to-day basis throughout these 31 days because you're not using your faith to try to make God do something. You're using your faith to get what he's already done. Ah. Y'all getting this? Say it's already done.
It's already done.
Now I'm going to call some stuff out, and I want you to think about it as you say it's already done. My job. All right, so now, what do I need to do? Now I need to use all of the things I learned about faith, not to move God and not to try to get God to do something. But now, here's what I'm doing now. I'm going to use my confession. Lord, I confess that what you have already done in this area, I receive it for me right now. Lord, I confess that what you have already finished in that area, I receive it right now. All right, now, you're confessing it. And then watch this. Lord, I believe I have what you've already done. Notice the weight that just flows off your shoulder. It's no longer you having to try to do the right things to get God to do something. All you got to do, what did he say to Jairus? Only believe. Only believe. And what happens when you believe? All right, now here's the deal. What are you believing? Are you believing that your own works are going to get the thing done? Or are you believing that the finished works, it's already done? This is a major renewal of the mind. It's everything we've ever learned about faith, and we got to now tuck this in there and teach faith all over again. That's why I'm doing 31 days of faith, because this has got to be tucked in to your confession. It's got to be tucked in to name it and claim it. It's got to be tucked into everything you ever learned about faith. But what we got to unlearn is, I am not doing any of this to try to get God to do something. I'm doing all of this to get what he's already done. Okay, all right, now. In the hospital, and the doctor diagnoses you with something. So how do I use your faith? Well, Brother Dollar, what's all those scriptures for? Why am I saying the scriptures out loud? Why am I saying the healing scriptures out loud? Well, you know that. You're saying the healing scriptures out loud so you can constantly renew your mind and remind yourself that this is what has already been done, and this is what has been made available to me. And I am now opening my mouth up to keep my mind on the fact that these scriptures that I'm reading, this is evidence that it is done. It's evidence that it is done. Praise God. Hallelujah. Somebody says, well, what about sowing seeds? We mean planting something. Oh, no. I'm not planting to get him to do something. It's almost like when I go to the bank and do a withdrawal. This is my withdrawal slip for what has already been deposited. I'm not sowing financially to see if I can get God to put something in my bank account. No, he's already put it in my bank account, and my faith action is demanding a response from my grace. My faith responds to my grace. My faith is a response to my grace. Hallelujah. My faith appropriates the finished work. You remember Philemon, when we talked about that? Acknowledge all the good that's in you, and then what will happen? He said, through your acknowledgement, your faith will become active. The acknowledgement, acknowledging is not saying, Lord, I believe. Acknowledging is saying, I believe that this thing exists already. And so I acknowledge that healing in me is good. Hallelujah. Now, here's the New Testament Christian. Even though God has finished the work, that work, anything he creates is created with finished work. And the day you got born again, your spirit man was finished. Yes, amen. Your spirit man, the day you got born again, it's finished. It is pregnant with everything in it that you'll ever need for life. It's finished. So Philemon says, acknowledge the good that is in you. Acknowledge what? Acknowledge the existence of what is finished on the inside of you. I acknowledge that I am holy. Instead of doing things for God to make me holy, I lay hold of this by the grace of God. I'm holy already. It's a finished work. And through faith, I appropriate the finished work. Through faith, I take possession of the finished work. So reading the scriptures and studying the scriptures is to help you to identify all of the things that have been finished. And your attitude should be, all right, devil, as I open the Bible up, and you might be going through something, don't let me find some more finished stuff. Don't let me find, I look in the Bible and it says that I have given you life and given it to you more abundantly. You're like, what? What? Now watch the attitude. This is faith. You mean to tell me I have abundance?
Thank you, Lord.
No, your attitude is, wait a minute, that's finished. So now I am going to lay hold of that. Now, as you begin to renew your mind this way, as you begin to attack things this way, as you begin to lose that work mentality of trying to get God to solve your problem mentality, then you're going to find manifestations begin to operate at a quicker rate because you're no longer. See, here's the deal. You're going to go through a time test. Once you pass that, it's going to be a piece of cake. But the time test is to get you to see, well, do you really believe this work is finished? You really believe this work is finished? Now, Abraham demonstrated this over and over and over again. And I hope I have time to go over this, but I probably won't. But because I'm trying to nail this in. This requires so much thinking, so much. Think about this. Think about this. Abraham. Notice God did not wait to change his name when he became father of many nations. Done deal. Now let's use your faith to get what I've already done. Read the whole Bible over again. It was always about, now you need to use your faith to get what I've already done. I'm done. Use your faith to get it. He knew Abraham was going to make the decision he made to go to his wife's maid. That wasn't the will of God. But because of his unbelief, God didn't talk to him for what, 20 something years? Because it's like it's already done. All you got to do is believe. Well, he finally got a hold of that. And in Genesis 22. He took his, go there. I need to show you this. He finally got a hold of it. In Genesis 10, 22, you see a man who absolutely trusts in the provisions of God. Verse 3. And Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and clave the wood for a burnt offering, rose up, went into the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day, so it probably took about 3 days, on the third day Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto his young men, abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder, worship, and come again to you. Boy, I tell you what, this guy had made his mind up that God had already provided. In fact, let's keep reading. He actually tells you that. Let me go back there for a moment. I thought I forgot about that. Hebrews 22. Now let's see. Verse 7. Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, my father, he said, here am I, my son. And he said, behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? I'm surprised Abraham didn't say, you it, boy, but he didn't. Verse 8, and Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. He went on up there and he took the wood, put it on his shoulder. And then in verse 12, and he said, lay not thy hand. Well, verse 11, and the angel of the Lord called on him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. He said, here am I. He said, lay not thy hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God or respects him, seeing that thou hast not withheld thy son, thy only son, from me. Abraham lifted up his eyes, looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in the thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram, offered him up for a burnt offering instead of his son. And Abraham called the name of that place, the name of the place was called Jehovah Jireh. He called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh, as it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. Now, a couple of things happen here, ladies and gentlemen. You got to understand, every provision for Abraham, God had already done. It's perpetual. It's finished work. It only required Abraham to trust God. And it only required Abraham to believe God. Now, here is a man who had no problems with that, you know, at this particular point, because God cut a covenant with him. And in this covenant, he had promised Abraham that you will be the father of many nations, and in that all of your seed would come out of Isaac. So he had already took it through his mind that if I kill Isaac, God is going to have to raise him up. He'd already seen that. He'd already got a hold of that. See, Abraham was stuck in the finished work of God. He didn't believe trying to get God to do something. He believed because he wanted to appropriate what God had already done. He spoke it. God's going to get him a lamb. God's already done that. That's something that God's already done. Now, that was a ram there. He was referring to the lamb Jesus. But the ram was there so it could be offered up instead of his son. And Jehovah Jireh, the provider, showed up. You've got to understand, ladies and gentlemen, provision has already been finished. Church folks are still trying to figure out how to get God to be provider. That's the problem. Stop trying to get him to be provider and receive his provisions that he's already provided. That's a mindset change. We got to change the way we think. If we don't change the way we think where this is concerned, where the rest of God is concerned, where the finished works of God are concerned, we'll find ourselves for the rest of our lives using faith as a work that keeps us from entering into the finished works of God. And worse than that, you'll be using faith as a demonstration of unbelief. You hear what I'm saying? Your use of faith to try to get God to do something is a demonstration of unbelief that is the unbelief that keeps you out of his rest. But your faith used to appropriate the finished works of God, the finished works of Jesus, who is now the image of the Sabbath. Well, praise God. God walks where honor is concerned. Think about your life. If you will finally condition your thinking that every time you look around, you go around and you're walking around talking about what God's already done and what you already got. I'm already healed. Praise the Lord. I'm already prosperous. Glory to God. Well, then you have, listen, that's good, Lord. Just because he finished it doesn't mean you going to have it if you fail to use your faith to get what's finished. Not use your faith to get God to do something, but use your faith to get what is finished. First step is I believe it's done. All right, you need a new job. Already done, right? Some of you are looking at me like, well, hence the problem. And that's why it says you got to believe to enter in. The doctor says you got some kind of disease. You say, oh, praise God, I'm already healed. I just had to tell that doctor that day. He said, oh, it looks good. I said, well, doc, I'm already healed. He said, well, you know, you're working on it. I said, no, I ain't working on it. It's done. Well, he don't understand that. It's done. It's a done deal. Praise God. And I believe when you believe that something's already healed, God will cause an alignment of something to happen, and stuff will start happening that would not have never happened if you didn't, you know what I'm saying? You know, if you didn't believe it was already done. But I believe something is in place. I can't articulate what it is right now, but something is in place that when you say, I believe it's done, things are rearranged and motion changes, and stuff come in your face, and you bump across stuff in your path, and stuff that would have never happened. Nothing just happens. Stuff that would have never happened will happen for the believer who believes that God finished it. And not that he finished it last week when you started praying about it. No. He finished it on the very day in Genesis chapter 2 when he said it is finished, and he blessed that Sabbath day and he empowered it. And he says, now I need you to trust what I've done. And the Almighty God looked through the corridors of time, and he saw every provision that needed to be in place, caused it to be perpetual, caused it to produce and to become, caused all of the paths to do all of what it did, waiting on somebody to say, I believe it's finished. Then Jesus gets on the cross. After the new creation was done and mankind now can be born again as a result of what Jesus would do, and God even finished what Jesus would do. Jesus just demonstrated how to walk it out. Jesus only preached about what God finished.
Amen.
And then he got on the cross, laid his head in the lumps of his shoulders. And before he left, he wanted to remind us, it is finished. It's done. It's done. It's done. And I don't, and see, the religion wants to make you think that you've got to use your religious understanding and works. That you actually, listen to me, this is how ridiculous this is. You really think you can make God do something? Huh? You really think you can make God do something? I thought about this. I said, oh Lord, what are they gonna think about me when I start talking about how they're using faith as a work? Let me tell you something. I believe this stuff every time I've done it. I've received manifestation every time. Every time. I had to see this building paid for and finished. That's why we took a picture of it. Couldn't wait till they build it. We had to see it finished. No more of this religious activity trying to get God to do something. That when I pray, I'm not praying to get God to do something. No. My prayer of faith is to tap in to finished works. My confession is to line myself up for finished works. My giving and my tithing is an act of love, because if I believe in the harvest, I believe in a finished harvest. And my faith is after a finished harvest, not my faith trying to use my giving to try to make a harvest. All the harvest you ever gonna need in your whole life has already been done. If you pull, it's your own fault, because you won't tap into the rest of the finished work of every provision. That's why I said, be careful, be cautious, be aware, and be diligent that you don't miss out on what God has provided for you.
Amen. Amen.
And that you fail to enter into the rest of the finished works of God. dear God, my faith is at an all-time high, not to get God to do something, but to appropriate what has been done. What has been done. So there's nobody in here. There's no situation in here. There's no issue represented in here that God has not already, past tense, finished the provision for your issue. Go get it. Go get it. Be epic in your faith, knowing that God has finished it. Now, isn't it a whole lot easier to believe God for what's finished than to try to use your faith to try to get him to do something? It's done. I'm healed. I'm not going to get healed. I'm healed. I was healed when healing was finished. I'm not going to be prosperous. I'm prosperous because my prosperity is a finished work. My marriage is not going to be good. God finished every provision necessary for my good marriage. So I just confess in line with what he's already done. Somebody said, well, Pastor, what if you're kind of crazy? God has the provision for your crazy. I tap into non-crazy. You what? Your whole, let me tell you, your faith life will grow to a place where you've never seen it before. I'll end with this in Romans chapter 4. Said, even God, who calleth those things that be not as though they were. The work was finished from the foundations of the world. It was done.